Dear The Reckoning, you are an incredibly memorable episode. From the gym clock ticking down, Klaus's compulsion of Stefan, Matt purposefully drowning in the pool, Tyler's transition to a hybrid. Well, let's just say that I'm so happy that the gang is all back in Mystic Falls so that more chaos can ensue. Sincerely, Bridget.
Dear The Reckoning, thank you for all the feels, again. The best part was Matt and Vicky being reunited, and the whole thing with Klaus. Well, he didn't want to be alone anymore. That's humanity. Sincerely, Christina.
Wow. Oh, right out of the gate, coming out with the good hot takes.
Yes.
All right. I see you.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to Dear Vampire Diaries, where today we have the distinct pleasure of escorting you through this episode of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 5, The Reckoning. I'm your host, Bridget, and we have a guest with us today, the darling Christina. Yay!
I'm so happy.
Yeah, me too. We won't be delving into future episodes today, but we will be discussing this episode, The Reckoning, in detail, and you've been warned. Speaking of warnings, we have a content note. The Vampire Diaries contains heavy themes. Please check the episode description for trigger warnings and resources. Especially this one, because Matt kind of on purpose commits suicide.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're struggling, please know that there are people out there who can talk to you. All right, Christina, this is the episode where, this is according to the HBO summary, because now Vampire Diaries is on HBO.
So. Okay.
Despite recent events, Caroline's determined to see that Elena, Bonnie, Matt, and Tyler all enjoy a traditional senior prank night before the school year begins at Mystic Falls High School. But the evening takes a deadly turn. Klaus continues using Stefan. Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed, he does. But as we realize, he just doesn't want to be alone. The poor guy. Sad. Relatable.
Oh my god.
Okay, so previously on TVD, all you need to really know is that Klaus's hybrids aren't living
okay.
through the transition. And what he doesn't know is that Elena's still alive, and Stefan's been hiding this from him. So in order to figure out what the hell is going on, he contacted the original witch, or tried to, she created that curse. And Rebecca also has awakened from her coffin death sleep. And Catherine is on a road trip with Damon, which makes me so jealous because I would love to do a road trip with Damon.
No, 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 no.
No?
No.
I love this. You are Stelena through and through, and that is why I had you on this episode. To torture you. No.
Stefan and Elena are love stories.
Yes. Yeah, they're endgame. I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah.
I get it. So Stefan also had remembered at the end of the last episode that Klaus and Rebecca were running from someone named Michael, and, they brought him back to Mystic Falls. And that's where we begin, is,
yeah.
So
yeah.
There are four sort of storylines throughout this, and I sort of broke it down through that. So
okay.
The first plot is Klaus gets to create hybrids again. Hip hip hooray for him.
Yeah.
So talk to me about this. What do you think about Klaus finally getting to create hybrids? Are you nervous?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, if he was the only hybrid, imagine what he would do with hundreds of hybrids.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Create an army.
Yeah.
His own little terracotta hybrid army. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I'll just walk through some of the scenes. So we start off at Mystic Falls High. It's like Matt is working out in a creepily deserted Mystic Falls High, somehow totally oblivious to the fact that it's senior prank night.
Okay. What did you do for your senior prank?
Okay, so I am lame and I believe in rules, and I did not participate in a senior prank, but I was a victim of our senior prank. It was actually really dark. What they did was they came in during lunchtime and, like, Silly String, you know, the, like, pressurized can of, like, Silly String?
Yeah.
They sprayed everyone with that, not realizing that some people are allergic to what's in Silly String. And so some people went into anaphylactic shock. And I also got sprayed in the mouth. I mean, I'm grateful I didn't have any allergies to it, but it was awful. Like, it burned my eyes. It was horrible. Like, it was... Yeah, so I feel like they took it way too far, and then they sat us all down. We had a like a meeting in the gymnasium where they were like, "We are so disappointed in you. Go and clean it up. Do you know what you've done?" And I sat there and I was like, "I'm not helping them clean it up. Fuck them. They're the ones that did this. The people that were directly involved can go clean it up, and I'm gonna sit here in the gym and I deserve an apology anyway."
Oh my god, so, I'm so sorry.
I had like not a good. What about you? I hope you did something more fun and less deadly.
Oh, yeah. So we did the balloons and we did the toilet paper and did the water cups, but without the water. It was a safety hazard. Yeah.
Safety hazard. Yeah. See? I feel like when you're playing pranks, you have to know where to draw the line and you have to know what the like potential consequences are.
Yeah.
And all of those are just like fun, random things where it's like, cool, seniors. Great. The thing with the honey, though, we also did the honey. I did not do that, but I remember trying to open a door and being like, sticky!
Oh my god.
I got pranked. So by senior prank night, what it meant was I got pranked by all the shit that my class did.
Oh my god.
Because I wasn't a part of it. Do you hear that, police? I wasn't a part of it. Okay, anyways. Anyway, yeah. Matt is exercising on his own. He's trying to exercise away his existential pain. Can't relate, but he's looking so good. And he realizes, like, he's got this sense that there's something there, and, like, just as we think it's about to be a vampire, he opens the classroom door, and are they mouse traps? Is that what goes off? Like, it's like, stop.
Yeah.
And they're like, god damn it, Matt! And they're like, why are you doing this? Like, and he's like, why are you doing this? And they're like, Caroline's making us do this.
Senior prank.
Yeah. I think Tyler is probably the second most excited about the pranks.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Because he's, like, dating Caroline. Yeah. He's this little budding alpha male. And he's, like, handing out saran wrap to the other people, being like, go get the faculty toilets. And Elena's excited, too. She goes to super glue Alaric's desk shut. To the complete and utter joy of Caroline. Like, she's just so proud. She's a proud mama. Proud prank mama. And who does Elena run into?
Klaus!
Mr. Klaus. And he, like, grabs her by the arm. He brings her into the gymnasium. He, like, busts senior prank night in a really annoying American accent that I think is totally unnecessary. It's like, Joseph Morgan, if you were born with a beautiful, velvety British accent, there's no reason to not always be using it, in my opinion.
Honestly, when he said you were supposed to be dead, I was so like, no, it's senior prank. And they didn't die.
Oh my god, you're so right. They pranked Klaus. They're like, April Fools, very long. April, okay. Oh. But Elena, who is ever the sacrificial lamb, she's like, well, then just kill me. She's like, just kill me. Yeah. Just leave everyone alone and just kill me. And he's like, no, I've got to make sure that I'm right first. But I do have ways to make you suffer in the meantime. And then he does this weird thing. What do you think of the thing he does with Chad and Dana, where he's like, raise up your left leg, Dana. And he's like, if it, you know, drops, beat her to death.
She doesn't have the strength to do that.
No. And it's weird that Klaus would pick these random two people to torture Elena with. It's like... I get that she cares about the people around her, but this is so random. Aww. And it's just so weird. But like Dana recognizes him, and I did laugh at the line where he's like, oh, I wasn't in my right head the last time we met, because he was Alaric.
Oh my god. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we cut to Caroline and Tyler, and they're like making out. They're so cute. They're in the hallway having a great time. And she asks Tyler, like, do you think Matt is going to be okay? And Tyler's like, I'm making out with you. You're thinking about your ex-boyfriend. And she's like, I'm thinking about our friend who we both love. And I really love this moment where they both have empathy for Matt and what he must be going through.
Yeah.
And then Tyler switches around to, like, also be like, I love that you have this big heart.
Yeah.
Instead of being pissed that she's caring about Matt. Like, actually, yeah. Like, he was just joking. Like, I've never seen Tyler so healthy.
Yes, you did. It's also, like, he doesn't want, he doesn't have many people to talk to.
Yes.
Elena is dating a vampire. Tyler is a werewolf. Caroline is a vampire.
Yeah, he's the only normie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they just have such compassion for him. And yeah, I just put a little heart in my notes. Like, I was like, I love them together. I think that Caroline and Tyler are very healthy right now.
Yeah.
Like, as a couple. But who shows up? Rebecca. I love that as soon as Rebecca shows interest in Tyler being a werewolf, Caroline steps in front of Matt protectively and she's like, and who are you? It's just awesome to see her be, like, protective of him. And of course, Rebecca, like, attacks them. And back in the gym, Klaus gives Bonnie the task of fixing the hybrid problem. And he immediately puts Tyler in transition, and he's like, so, if you want your friend to live, you're gonna figure out a solution. Klaus is, just to give him a quick compliment, he's very good at figuring out how to incentivize other people. He could be a great project manager, that's all I'm saying.
A great project manager, yes. A good friend, no.
Yes, that's very astute. Oh, he sure is a Slytherin. Anyway, okay, so it's interesting, too, that Bonnie, when he's like, I guess you're the one to blame for why Elena's alive, she goes, that's right, if you want to blame someone, blame me. But you can just tell him to blame John Gilbert, Bonnie. We're all with you. It was John's idea. But anyway, so Bonnie leaves to work out that troubleshooting. Klaus is obviously still holding Elena hostage there while she goes figure it out. Rebecca looks her over and says, so this is the current doppelganger. The original one was much prettier. And I'm like, Rebecca, they all look the same. It's they're fucking doppel. And you can see Elena looks a little bit offended. She's like, hey. And I'm like, this is a stupid.
Rebecca, honestly, I could have slapped her. Slap, slap, yeah. Slap. Slap her.
Slap, slap, slap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, she's a bit of a brat. She's a real, yeah. Real brat. So Tyler is taken elsewhere to transition. Rebecca, like, leaves the gym. And then we go to the hallway where Caroline is waking up. And Rebecca is either on Caroline's phone or Elena's phone, someone's phone. And she's just, like, she tells Caroline about the transition. But also she's, like, looking through. And she sees Elena wearing the necklace that was once hers. And she flies into a rage.
Oh my god.
So, later on, Tyler wakes up to Caroline and Rebecca, who tell him that he's in transition. And she's like, I wonder how Bonnie's doing. Tick-tock goes the gym clock.
20 minutes.
And to her credit, well, to their credit, I suppose, and we will talk more about Matt and Bonnie later, but they figured it out. They've gotten the message from the original witch that Elena's got to die in order for the hybrids to be successful. And Klaus overhears this and immediately goes and gives Tyler Elena's blood, which is the opposite advice that he received. And Tyler transitions successfully and is a hybrid now. And I'm just like, okay, well, if you had the answer all along, Niklaus, maybe you didn't need to torture Dana and Chad. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, like, no. Klaus is such a child in this episode.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
He and Rebecca are such children. I cannot.
It's almost like they're stuck. They truly are stuck in time. Like, they haven't matured in all the thousands of years they've been alive.
Yeah.
They haven't grown.
No.
Yeah. Which is terrifying in and of itself. You know? Grown children that are this powerful. We go to the hospital, Elena wakes up, they're taking her blood, bags of it, and the nurse is terrifying because she's been compelled, obviously, but she's all like, it's okay, sweetie, you've been through a horrible ordeal, you've lost a lot of blood.
And she's Elena's like taking a bath.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like misery or something. It's like, and she like gives Elena a sedative, and Elena's like, no, like she's trying to fight. What a nightmare. Ooh, scary nurse. So you mentioned before that Klaus and Rebecca, or well, you mentioned before that Klaus just didn't want to be alone. Do you want to talk to me about this scene where Rebecca talks to him about that?
Okay, so she is sitting on the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes, so did you ever have a feeling that it's gonna be that way? Yeah. And I don't know, he's
got like tears.
Yeah, here. And also he has that apprehension. It's like humanity. It's humanity. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. That he just doesn't want to be alone. It's interesting because like she's like, how did you figure out when the original witch said that she needed to die, why didn't you just kill her? And he's like, because she wants me to be alone.
Yeah.
The original witch hated me. And I'm like, ooh, there's some history there. Wonder what it is. And Klaus doesn't really answer Rebecca. Like, she does have this genuine intuition about him when she's like, is that what you want, ultimately, is just to not be alone?
Yeah.
He's like, what I want is to take my girl. I can only assume he means Stefan. I want to take my hybrids and get the hell out of this one pony town. And we're like, all right, big guy. All right, big macho hybrid guy. Okay. So this leaves Tyler.
Okay.
Tyler says to Caroline that it feels amazing to be a hybrid. And there's this hug that they have. And when he can't see her, the look on her face is like,
it says it all. Mm. It says it all. He is
great acting moment.
She is so worried about him.
Yes.
And his transition.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our A plot. But our B plot stands for Bonnie helps Matt see dead people. Okay. So I love this moment in the pool when they're talking about, like, they're reminiscing about, like, having been lifeguards together. And he's just like, remember when my only problem was that Elena was breaking up with me? Like, those were good times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, do you remember what was happening in Elena's life at that time? Her parents had just died. Have a little perspective, Matt. God damn it. Everyone's being so compassionate to Matt. Which I get. I do get. And, like, Bonnie gives him this empathy, and it's really beautiful. And she's like, I can't imagine what this must be like for you. And
Yeah.
Okay, Bonnie. So, but she also is like, Jeremy and I are on the outs because he didn't tell me for a long time that he's seeing his dead ex-girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matt is like, oh, I'm so relieved that you know. Because he's like, I really want to talk to Vicky. I miss her, but, like, I don't know. And
Matt saying he wants to see Vicky, it must have taken guts to say.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's very insightful because Matt did have a really hard time when Jeremy was like, you and I can talk to Vicky and stuff. And Matt was kind of like not ready for it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it felt kind of like Jeremy was sort of pushing it a little bit. But now Matt is very like, yeah, I think he realizes how alone he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Poor Matt.
I know. And so our little lonely boy goes to get more toilet paper and he goes to the bathroom. And I love this moment where, like, he's opening the stalls, he's getting the rolls, and he's leaving, and one of the stalls opens.
Yeah.
I really wonder how they did that special effect, because it doesn't open like it's got like a string. It opens like really well. If you go back and watch it, you'll see what I mean. Like, it does look like someone went
okay.
like and like just opened it. So okay. cool. So he goes back okay. and he sees in the little writing on the wall, R.I.P. Vicky Donovan.
Yeah.
And aww. He feels her presence, kind of, because, like, he walks away and she's behind him, but, like, he can't hear her. And she's like, I want to help you, Matt. Ooh, chilling. Love it. So, anyway, later on, after a little bit of Klaus stuff has happened, they both realize that they need Jeremy, because Jeremy can talk to dead people.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
what they need. It's a very specific skill set. And... they're unable to reach Jeremy, and so they agree to meet at Matt's truck to go to the Gilbert's house to check on Jeremy, but Matt is like trying to grab his stuff to go. He realizes his gym clothes are just like everywhere, like someone's thrown everywhere. Around yeah. his stuff, and almost like breadcrumbs is leading him back to the pool. And when he gets there, what's at the bottom of the pool, Christina?
His keys.
And he's like, fuck. Yeah. And Vicky appears again and she's like, I can help you, Matt, but like, I need you to be able to talk to me. And yeah. somehow she texts him from the ghostly ether. Like, it's like, unknown number. I can help you, Maddie. And he's like, oh, shit. Because Matt's a little obtuse. She needed to text him. He's not going to understand all the subtle stuff. So... what does Matt do? He calls Bonnie as he's getting, like, a big weight and some chains to, like, drag himself down in the depths. And he's like, you're gonna need to bring me back from the dead. And she's like, I don't have that kind of power anymore. Yeah. He's like, you don't need magic. You just need to be better at CPR than I was. And she just, like, starts running. She's doing, like, a hero run, like, through the halls. She's trying to get there. What a horrifying call to get. If someone is like, hey, bring me back to life in 5 minutes. Cool. I'm like, oh, fuck, you're on your own. Oh, God. But that's some trust or recklessness, because Matt's being a little self-destructive here. And I'm quite surprised that they don't show him struggling in the water. Like, he just goes down and it's so peaceful. Like, he's just, like, so surrendered. It's deeply disturbing to watch it.
Yeah, but also, like... Matt is already talking to Vicky, but like from his heart.
Yeah, in his heart. I love that. Oh. Yeah, because we've seen that with Jeremy, where it seems like the rule of the other side is that there's sort of a push and a pull.
Yeah.
Of like, Matt's been, of course, thinking about Vicky. So he gets to see her. He gets to see his sister in this sort of, like, ghostly realm. And she says, I need you to give Bonnie a message for me. And, of course, when Bonnie, you know, resuscitates him, he gives her the message that we already know, which is that, yeah, Elena's gonna die. And he realizes, he's like, that means Tyler's gonna die, isn't it? Because, like, we gotta find a way to save Elena. Yeah. Always. It's very fun. I love the line, though, that Bonnie says where she says, as soon as you're feeling better, I'm going to kill you. But anyway, right at the end of the episode, Bonnie gives Matt a good talking to, where she's like, what you did was reckless and stupid. And he's like, I know, Bonnie, but like, I miss Vicky. Like, what do you want me to do? You know, and it helped and it worked.
Yeah.
And he says, I really do need a minute because Vicky's here. I can feel her and I need to say goodbye.
Aww.
Yeah. And Bonnie leaves and Matt thinks that she's come back. Like, he can sense that someone's behind him and he's like, seriously, Bonnie, I'm not going to do anything stupid. And he turns around.
And it's Vicky's there.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. It was such a beautiful moment to see Matt and Vicky together.
Yeah.
Like, she passed away, like,
yeah, a whole season ago.
Maybe, yeah.
Actually, two seasons ago?
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's been so much time. Yeah.
Yeah.
For us, anyway. Yeah, so that was the B plot. Very emotional, very action-packed. And if you think that's emotional and action-packed, you're going to love the C plot. The C plot is the love triangle. And I chose that because the letter C is the third letter of the alphabet, and it takes three to be in a triangle.
Okay, yeah.
A, so... we start off with Stefan coming to in the moving van, and Rebecca is sort of, she's there, she's sort of toying with him, And he's like, I don't know what you mean. I don't know. Like, to the end, he will not admit that Elena is still here. And that's sort of the point of this whole plot line, is Stefan still loves her. And, like, his love is stronger than Klaus's compulsion. Like, the oldest vampire in the history of time has
to... cannot do anything but love. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You'll do anything for love. And it's interesting. Rebecca really sees it here too, where as soon as, like, Stefan hears that Klaus is going to kill Elena, he attacks Rebecca.
Yeah.
And he's like, where are they? Like, where is he holding her? And Rebecca, I love the way that Claire Holt, the actress who plays Rebecca, says this. She says, you really do love her, don't you? Consider me jealous. And she just, like, drives, like, a crowbar through, I don't even know what it, like, a tire iron through his stomach.
Yeah, and a crowbar.
He's gotta love Elena, because the amount of obstacles that he goes through during this entire episode, it's painful to watch.
Because he had a rough couple of days being necked by Klaus.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so he arrives at the gym, and he at first tries to, like, pretend that he's there to, like, kiss Klaus's ass. And he's like, Elena means nothing to me. And the way that Elena is looking at him, I just remember the first time I watched this, where, like, she's been searching and searching and searching for him and missing him. I remember how my heart ached when I watched this for the first time. Like, I just wanted them so badly to be back together. And then fucking this happens. She's not my girlfriend. You know, you're the person I love, Klaus. I'll be loyal to you, Klaus. Stefan's like, please, boyfriend, I'll do anything for you. And Klaus is like, cool, then kill these rando people that go to Elena's school for some reason. And there's a very interesting, it's like angel devil on the shoulder moment, where Elena's like, no, Stefan, don't.
Yeah.
And Klaus is like, yes, Stefan, do. But it's interesting, because as soon as Elena says, Stefan, don't worry, Klaus isn't going to hurt me, Klaus just, like, slaps her with the back of his hand, and the force of it,
oh my God.
Like, she lands on the ground, and Stefan is unleashed. Like, he attacks Klaus with this rabid energy that Klaus is like, oh, so you're my boyfriend, huh? Well, then why do you still care about your ex-girlfriend? Ugh. He has to compel him to stop fighting. And I love when he's like, the whole summer, I wanted you to be with me of your own free will, and I never had to resort to this.
Turn it off.
But he says, turn it off. He Simon Says's him as well. He says, you will do exactly what I say when I say it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have Stefan turn off his emotions yet. That's actually later. First, he's like, you're going to do whatever I say. You're going to do whatever I say. And what I say is, like, essentially, he's turned him into his 1950s housewife. So he's got him as, like, this lapdog now. And so he kills Chad and Dana. And then he says, you know what? Let's put a timer on this. 20 more minutes. And then you can feed on Elena. I know you want to. Oh boy, what do you think about this? Like, why does Klaus do that, do you think?
I think he wants to see Elena hurt.
Like, punishment for lying?
Punishment.
For staying alive, kind of?
Punishment for lying, for being alive, I don't know.
She also represents something. Like, she's a copy of an original doppelganger, and we don't know who that person really was, or, like, why. So I wonder if he's projected something onto her from his past.
Could be.
A little foreshadowing there.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's also very much about, like, making a point. This is Stefan's vampire nature. Like, this is what it is. And he even says to Elena, like, isn't it, like, glorious to see a vampire at the height of their power? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting, because when Rebecca flies into a rage over the necklace and comes in, Stefan doesn't have to help Elena when Rebecca attacks Elena, because Klaus is like, hey, stop it. Like, gotta keep his sister in tow. But yeah, Stefan feeding on Elena, that's fine. I do love that when Elena finds out that Klaus is going to have Stefan feed on her, her first remark is not, please don't do this, please don't hurt me. It's, don't do this to him.
Yeah.
She cares so much, like, still the selfless protagonist that we know and love,
yeah.
right? Elena and Stefan get into this conversation when they're alone in the gym, and she's like, I know it's possible to resist compulsion. I've seen Caroline's dad do it. And he's like, yeah, but that would, like, take, like, years. It's not going to happen. Like, I'm a ripper. You don't understand. And she's like, no, you should be able to fight. And yeah. he says, why? Because I love you? And she's like, I love not the you. Way that she says, yeah, Stefan, because you love me.
Yeah.
And after all that we've been through, you at least owe me that.
At least.
And it's so yeah. powerful. Oh. Stefan does tell Elena to run. And she's like, no, you can fight it. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to. Please run. I just love this, like, beautiful sequence of it. If you see it out of context, it must look very, very odd. But knowing what he's going through of, like, the internal struggle, yeah. he's throwing himself on the walls yeah. to try to...
And then he stakes himself.
He stakes himself with the same broom that Elena staked a vampire with in season one during the 50s dance. It's still there. The janitor must just be like, God damn, who keeps breaking my brooms? God damn it. Every day is prank day when you're the janitor at Mystic Falls. Anyway, so Elena's running and she bumps into Klaus and he's like, we've got to stop meeting like this.
Yep.
And he says, this is fascinating. I've never seen this before. In thousands of years, he hasn't seen a love that would keep a vampire from being compelled to do something.
Yeah.
And this is when he has Stefan turn off his emotions. This is when he realizes it's Stefan's heart that is stronger yeah. than his compulsion. And that's yeah. when he has him, you know, flip the humanity switch, as they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once again, this dynamic makes no sense to me. I mean, I know I joke about it a lot, but it makes no sense to me unless Stefan and Klaus are absolutely in a gay relationship. Because, like, I know people are like, oh, he wants a brother. But I'm like, Elena is the greatest threat to his relationship with him. It's not just because she's human. It's because she's the greatest love of his life. More than Klaus could ever experience.
Yes. But the love that Stefan and Elena have is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's pure.
Yeah.
It's her first time.
Yes, yeah. Her first real and love. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. yeah.
Everyone wants yeah. that good, good Stefan love. Like, I don't blame Klaus. You know, I bet he does. There is an argument to be made that he reminds him of Elijah and that he's, like, the brother that he never had because he's got the good qualities of Elijah, but also, like, the ripper qualities that Klaus kind of can have, you know? So I could see an argument for the brotherliness there, but I just think there's a big heart there when it comes to Stefan and Klaus. Speaking of big hearts, I do wonder how you feel about Damon arriving just in time to save the day with Elena at the hospital.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah. He carries her out.
Yeah.
Like bridal style. it's interesting because when he first arrives at the hospital to save Elena, Klaus is there and he almost kills Damon. But Damon uses Michael's name as leverage and yeah. Klaus, it works. Klaus yeets right out yeah. of there. Yeah. We get home back to the Salvatore house and Damon is trying to give Elena strong bourbon to like help her. He's like, he offers compulsion. He's like, I can help you forget. And she's like, no, I can't forget.
I need to remember.
Yeah.
Oh, and my God.
He tries to give her the necklace back. He's like, I stole it back for you. This is like the fifth time he's stolen back the necklace for her. And it's very interesting because in the last episode, he challenged Elena on like, why are you still wearing Stefan's necklace? If he must still mean something to you because you're wearing his necklace. And in this, he offers her the necklace and she doesn't take it. And he just, like, puts it down on the table, like, this is a changed moment, where she's like, he's really gone this time. Like, he's, you know, because she watched Klaus make him turn it off. And so she's starting to, like, accept that maybe their love can't exist, that maybe this is just something she needs to give up on.
No.
I love this heartbreaking moment, too, where she goes, "Where were you, Damon?"
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. And he makes this promise never to leave her again.
Yeah.
And then Stefan shows up in his off-switch mode.
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, isn't this cozy?" And they're like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And he's like, "I live here, and now I've been told to protect you, Elena."
Okay, that one was so ripping. It was like,
yeah,
I definitely saying that to Elena was like a threat.
It's creepy too, how he's like, he looks at Damon and looks at Elena and he's like, "Carry on," because he knows what's happening here. And yeah, like the real Stefan is dying on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, with this. And now that he's there to protect Klaus's, you know, human blood bag.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, God. So that is where we leave our intense love triangle. Now we're on to the D plot. D stands for Damon and Catherine kidnap Jeremy.
I am so mad at Catherine for kidnapping Jeremy, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's perfectly in her wheelhouse.
Oh, no. Catherine is such a crybaby in this episode. This episode is such... Damon to Catherine. I wouldn't have done it for you.
Yes.
That must have been a punch in the gut.
Yes. He's punishing her this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's with her, and they have, like, great sexy banter at the top where, like, he's like, "Stop being cute." And she's like, "That's not possible." It's interesting how, like, she starts coming on to him. Like, she's like, "Oh, trouble in paradise, you and Elena taking a break."
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Let me guess. She wants you to play the hero, and you don't like playing pretend." And he's like, mm-hmm, something like that. And then they make out, and then he just, like, throws her across the car. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Truth is, you just don't do it for me anymore." Yep. I do love this, though. Like, he's not the same Damon that he used to be, like, when she could manipulate him without him realizing it. Like, I do think that being around Elena has changed him for the better because it's led him to respect himself more. And, you know, it's to individuate himself a little bit more from the person that he's infatuated with. Because he used to be exactly what Catherine wanted. And now he's resisting becoming exactly what Elena wants, which is a hero, which is interesting because he does play the hero in the end. He shows up to save the day and literally holds her in his arms, like a damsel in distress and promises never to leave her again. But yes, back to Jeremy. The reveal of Jeremy in the trunk is very funny to me because Catherine is like, "This isn't going to win you any points at home."
Yeah.
But it is like a stroke of amazing luck for her because she needs to find Michael. And she explains to Damon, only one person knew where he was. That was Pearl. And she told only one other person, Anna, her daughter, who Jeremy can conveniently communicate with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna shows up and she's like, "I'm not going to help them. They're not a friend to you." And then Catherine and Damon pout. I love that they could be like a little meme together, like pouting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Damon's like, "Yeah, you will," and slams his head into the table. And Anna immediately is like, "Okay, all right, fine. I'll tell you all about Michael." But this is what she says word for word. "He's a vampire who hunts vampires.
Vampires.
You don't want to wake him. He will kill all of you."
All of you?
Oh, wow. That sounds important.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like maybe you might want to listen to her. Or maybe ask some fucking follow-up questions. I don't know. Just why you have her there. But as soon as they get the info, they're like, "Cool, good." And Damon's like, "Cool, I'm gonna... Wait, where's my phone?" And Catherine's like, "I needed you present here." And Damon's like, "Where's my phone, Catherine?" And he suddenly gets all the texts from Bonnie. And, you know... He would have gone back immediately for Elena if he had known. And I think that Catherine knows that.
Yeah.
And that is why she kept it from him. That's when he says, "I wouldn't have done this for you."
Yeah.
Which is a lie, honestly. Damon, you died for Catherine already once. Like, we all know that you... Okay. You overcommit.
Okay, yeah. But he wouldn't have done it for this...
This version Catherine. Of Catherine. Yes. Yeah. Correct. I think you're right. He once saw her as, like, everything. And now he's a little bit more wise.
Yeah.
So, we go to the tomb where... Jeremy is, like, guiding Catherine. He's like, apparently a witch entombed him here in the 90s. And I'm like, ooh, a witch. Wonder about that. Okay, anyway, there he is. There's Michael, all gray and in chains. Very fun.
Yeah.
Oh boy, can't wait to see what havoc will happen next.
So, Michael gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
He is such... Like, his face is stone the moment that he opens his eyes.
Whoa.
It's war. Yeah. No. Yep. Thank you.
No, thank you. Maybe we want to do a little more research first, Catherine. Okay. Anyway. So, Christina, who are you taking and who are you staking from this episode?
Ooh. Taking Matt and Vicky, because they didn't see each other for so long.
Yeah. And she was taken from him so suddenly and violently, and they're so young. Yeah. Aww.
And staking Rebecca, because he's such a brat. And also Klaus, because he is
also
such
a brat. I am taking Caroline and Tyler's relationship in this episode, which is unprecedented for me. I don't think I've ever taken Tyler, ever.
Okay.
I don't think. Okay. Oh, maybe I have. I don't know. But anyway, I just love how, like, good they are as a couple. They're so healthy. I just want to, like, take this snapshot of them and, like, freeze it in time of, like, them together doing senior pranks, being happy, caring about Matt. Him not being jealous, I don't know. I just loved their dynamic in this episode. Okay. That's where I thought the good love was.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I am staking Catherine and Damon for not considering what the consequences might be of waking Michael up and not apparently fucking asking at all. They are supposed to be the ones that are good at doing their homework, their work, you know? It's like, come on, people. Come on. You can't... Okay.
What's the word of the day?
I'm so glad you asked. The word of the day is nebbish.
Nebbish.
I think I'm saying that right. Nebbish. I've never seen this word before.
Okay. Google.
So it's a...
Google.
Yeah, Google. So what it's a noun. It refers to a timid, meek, or ineffectual person. So like an example would be... Considered to be a nebbish by her colleagues, she surprised everyone by speaking up boldly. So it's a person. It's a person who is timid, meek, or ineffectual. Okay. All right, so let's both try to use it in a sentence about the episode. What's your sentence?
Elena being nebbish about Klaus and being dead?
Dead? Question mark? I love it. All right, I said, Klaus is mistaken if he thinks Stefan is a nebbish when it comes to Elena.
Oh.
Because he ain't. All right, well, that's all for The Reckoning. I have been your host, Bridget, and Christina has been our guest host today.
Yeah?
Yay! Thanks for joining us. And tune in next time to find out if Alaric will ever get his desk open now that the seniors have super glued it shut.
Tune in next time to see what the hell Catherine and Jeremy have unboxed this time.
It ain't an Amazon box, that's for sure.
Nope.
Dear Diary, if you want to make an omelet, you have to break a few legs.
Dear Diary, Elena means nothing to me anymore.
Dear Diary, what if I told you there was a way to kill Klaus? Not dagger dead. Dead.